St. John chapter 21. Amen. Whoa. Feel the power of God in this house. What a God we serve. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a King who loves us so much to come to us in our worst distress and the hardest times of life. He comes to us. St. John chapter 21. If you have that, say amen. It's our custom to stand for the reading of the Word of God. You'll stand for a judge. You'll stand for the King James Bible. If you can. If you've got the strength to do so. Chapter 21, verse 1. If you have that, say amen. After these things, Jesus shewed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise shewed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Verse 7, Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. I want to preach quickly this morning. If you can give it up, you can have it all. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your compassion, Lord. I'm going to do my best and trust this revival to you. I feel your power in a great and mighty way, and I am astounded that I'm even preaching right now. But Father, this is what we're doing. I'm trying to do what you would have us to do, Father. I cannot make anybody receive revival, but God, you impressed upon my heart those that were hungry, those that were thirsty, were going to be filled in this meeting. Father, I pray that every heart would be hungry, every heart would be thirsty, that we would forget about everything else around us, anything that's going on in our lives, and that we would focus on our souls. We would focus on the kingdom of God and the things of eternity. I pray over this message now, God, that you would anoint every heart and ear, that we would receive the engrafted word with meekness, Father, that which was able to save our soul. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Shake somebody's hand, tell them you love them, that you're glad they're in the house of God. And that we need them to have revival. I want you to have revival. Brother Johnson, Brother Corey, I want you to have revival this week. I want you sisters to get revival this week. I do. I want you to leave here different than you came. I certainly do. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And so I want to preach today on if you can give it up, you can have it all. You got to understand the history, the genesis of the apostles, the history of what's behind the situation, why they are here, why they are in this position. You got to understand that when Jesus came by to call Matthew, Matthew wasn't preaching the gospel. He was a tax collector. When he called Luke, Luke wasn't a preacher. Luke was a physician. When he called different ones, they weren't in the ministry. They weren't even saved. They didn't even really know Jesus. But he came to them and said, follow me. And they let everything go, and they follow Jesus. Now, it's strange when I look at this because they had sacrificed many things. Matter of fact, they had basically given up everything. And they were walking with Jesus, side by side with Him, hand in hand. They were able to talk to Him. They sat around the campfires with Him. They watched Him lay hands on demoniacs and the spirits came out. And not only that, but Jesus gave them power to do the same thing. And they recognized that even the devils are subject unto Thy name. We got power over all the powers of the enemy. And so it was tough, and they sacrificed. But in one respect, it was a little bit easier because they were walking beside Him. They could reach and get a hold of His robe. They could reach and get a hold of His coat. They could lay their head upon His shoulder and say, "Jesus, I need a little help." And He could pray for them right there on the spot. And they could feel His breath on their neck, and they could hear Him praying for them as Jesus would cry out to His Father for His disciples and for them that were following Him. And so they were very close, and they were a close-knit group, and they sacrificed a lot, and they suffered many things. But the thing about it was, is they really had no problem suffering with Him, because in their mind, in just a few years, in just a little bit of time, they were going to reign with Him right there in the city of David, because they had thought that Jesus was going to be king over the whole entire earth. They thought Messiah was just going to set up His kingdom right then and right there. And so Simon Peter and Andrew and them boys were thinking, you know, it's worth it. I mean, suffering a little bit now, I'm going to reign with Him. We're going to be kings and priests, and we're going to be able to do all these things. But then something strange happened. Jesus began to talk about the cross. He began to tell them that there was coming a day that He was going to die, and that they were going to crucify Him, that He was going to be betrayed. And He began to talk about all these things, and the apostles didn't want to accept it. As a matter of fact, when they came down to the garden to get Jesus, Peter pulled out his sword and cut off Malchus's ear because he didn't want him to take Jesus. But Jesus said, "Listen, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Mine is not of this earth. My kingdom is of the heavenly kingdom." Somebody shout amen this morning. They didn't want to accept the fact that Jesus was going to die. When He started talking about the cross, these men began to question. They began to waver a little bit. I mean, they wanted the crown, but they wasn't particularly altogether equipped for the cross. And so now we find that these men are in trouble. Jesus goes to the cross and they crucify Him. And the Bible says this little band of apostles was scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And so times are hard. We see those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're downtrodden. They're discouraged. And we hear the testimony. They said, "We thought that He was the one. We thought that He was the Messiah." And what they were saying was, "He was crucified in Jerusalem, and our hope of being saved is all lost. We thought Jesus was the one." And said, now they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They're on the enemy's hit list. Jesus is dead. And now they're beginning to wonder, is serving God worth it? They were confused. Alright? They were confused. If He was, then why did this happen? There was rumors that He rose. They hadn't seen Him yet. There was rumors that He was resurrected. They hadn't seen Him yet. They were dismantled. They were in trouble. I want you to know this morning that people have a tendency, when they get in trouble, when they have problems, they have a tendency to lean toward the familiar. I mean, they go back to what they used to know. And Peter said, "I go a fishing. I'm going back to my boats. I'm picking my nets up again. I go a fishing." Now you've got to understand that Peter was not a casual fisherman. He didn't just get out on the boat to see nature. He didn't just get out on the boat to relax and to clear his mind. But Peter was a businessman. This is what Peter did for a living. He was a very successful businessman, because we find that he didn't only have one boat, but he had several boats, and he had many people working for him. This this was something that Peter was good at. This was something that Simon Peter knew would work. This was something that just a few years earlier, Simon said, I believe I'll give it up. Hallelujah, so I can reign with Jesus. But now Jesus is dead. And Simon said, maybe it wasn't worth it. I'd go fishing. Not only does Simon go fishing, but I'm amazed. I mean, what in the world has Matthew got to do with going out fishing? Why didn't he say, I go back to collecting taxes? And he said, we go with you. But it lets us know that leaders are leaders, whether they take the people up or whether they take the people down. In this case, Peter was taking them back to the sea. I go fishing. What's Luke doing out there on a boat? He don't know nothing about no fishing. I go with you. Looking for something. Peter said, boys, I got you covered. I got you all a job. This works. I'm good at this. This is something I've done for years. Got a business. I can do this. All of y'all. Y'all employed. I got y'all hired. Y'all got a job. Let's go. And so they go to the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. And they begin throwing their nets. You can see this pancake out. Perfect. He wasn't playing around. Peter knew what he was doing. He could throw the big nets. And he'd pull them back in. Nothing. He'd throw the net again. Perfect. Nothing. Over and over and over and over and over. And over. Nothing. 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 Bible says they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They fished all night long. Simon Peter did what he was best at all night long, and nothing. Not one fish, not one catfish, not one bass, not one nothing, nothing. He cast and cast, and he worked and he worked, and he toiled and he toiled, and cast it all night long, and in the morning, nothing to show for it. God had shut the door. Because once you feel this power, once you come to Jesus, you can never go back. I said you can never go back to what you were. And Jesus shut the door. We hear people talking about how God opens doors and God opened the door to go to work. And God opened the door and I got this. And God opened the door and I got that. God shuts more doors than He opens. He's only got to open one. But many times He's got to shut a whole slew that points you in the right direction. He also knows how to shut doors when He has to. And God shut the door. I don't care how many times you cast your net in the places that you cast them. I'd like to tell you that you can try to do anything that you want to on your own, but you're never going to catch a thing. I mean, even things that you're good at, you can try. But without God, you are nothing. You can cast your net in places and in a manner that used to work. But when God shuts the door, it's shut, my brother. It's shut, my sister. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how much effort you put into it. You'll always find yourselves empty in the morning. And some of you have wondered, you're wondering right now, why has the night been so long? Why have I toiled so hard? I really want to get up. But I can. It's because you've been casting the net your way. You've been doing it on your own. And God has shut you down. One of these days, you're going to say, God, I realize that I can throw my net 1,000 times in the same place, and I'm not going to yield any fruit. You've got to let God direct your every step this morning. I feel like preaching. Amen. Fished all night, but you ain't caught a thing. Some of you fished all night, ain't caught a thing. Nothing. You same place you was 5 years ago. Ain't caught nothing. You've tried to do it on your own. You have to recognize that we are nothing, can do nothing, go nowhere, or be anybody without Jesus. Boats all over the water could not catch one single fish. I mean, Simon Peter knew where the fish were at. I mean, he had made a living. He's casting nets all nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. And some of you are experiencing too much nothingness. And I've got the answer for you this morning. If you would let go and let God, you would see some miracles in your life that would blow your mind. But as long as you decide to hold on, as how to feel the power of God, as long as you decide you're going to do it your way, your way, your way stinks, but God's way is the only way. Help us, Holy Ghost. I need to hurry. Jesus said, children, have you any meat? I saw something there. He didn't say, children, see if your neighbor's got any meat. He said, children, have you got any meat? I believe this revival, God is going to ask some of us, what do you have in your boat? I mean, it's time for you to quit looking at me and trying to figure out what I've got in the boat. It's time for you to quit looking at your neighbor and trying to judge them how much they got in the boat. Because this stranger on the shore, he's not looking at me. He's not looking at her. He's looking at you. And he wants to know, children, have you got any meat? Do you have anything in the boat? And as sad as it sounds, as ridiculous as it sounds, he's wanting to hear somebody say no. He's wanting to hear somebody say, no. He's going to smile. You see, because when this stranger asks a question, you better open up your ears and you better open up your eyes. Because nothing is hidden from this stranger. When he asks a question, it's not really that he wants an answer, but he's wanting you to examine what's going on. And this morning I pray that when God asks, have you any meat, that somebody would be honest with themselves. They'd be honest with God and say, God, you know, thou knowest, I have no meat. I've been a fishing and I can't catch nothing. Everything I try, it falls apart. Everywhere I go, it falls apart. Everything I do, it doesn't work, Lord, no. I have no meat. He wants to hear somebody say no. John 21:16, he said unto them, cast the net on the right side, and the ship and ye shall find. Now Luke tells us that Peter said this in Luke 5:5. Master, we toiled all the night. We have taken nothing. Nothing. This was, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. We need some folks here this morning who have a nevertheless attitude. Amen. One of the most sickening things, and I'm so sick of hearing it. I'm just going to be honest. I don't care if you get mad or not. I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, Brother Lamb, we don't want to bother you. Sick of it. You never bother me. You call me 1,000 times. You never bother me. We've got people that are the same way with God. I've come to the altar 100 times. I've prayed 1,000 times. I've never been able to work. It's never worked. I want to see somebody this morning that's got a nevertheless attitude. No, I may not have prayed through last Sunday. Nevertheless, I'm coming on down one more time. I'm going to give it another shot. I'm going to try Jesus again. Nevertheless. The morning was come, and it was time to go home. And just when Peter was about to give up, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Just when he was about to quit, Jesus said, cast your net. Not a new net. Not somebody else's net. Not Simon, you got the wrong net. Not a new boat. Not a new manual. He didn't say, Simon, you're not doing it right. He said, Simon, take the same net that you've casted hundreds of times tonight. Take the same net that's not worked for you all night long and cast your net. Let it down again. And so Simon, he did exactly what he told him to do. God said, just throw it over the side. You see, it had nothing to do with the net. It had nothing to do with the side. It had nothing to do with the skills. It had nothing to do with the quality of the net. It had everything to do with obedience. He had everything to do with obedience. And Jesus wanted to show him that you can fish in that hole for 100 years. But when I tell you to let down your net, you're going to come home with more than you've ever had. You can fish all night, Peter. You can get Bill Danz's book of how to fish. You ain't catching nothing. When I tell you, let down your net. Whew. My God, help us. This was abnormal for him. I mean, you go fishing, you catch 3 or 4, that's a bad day. This was abnormal. This man was a master fisherman. This man caught nothing. Not one fish. Not one abnormal failure. God had shut Peter down. Jesus said, cast your nets on the other side. Now you listen to me, saints of God, that boat, it was not the Titanic. It couldn't have been no larger than probably that roll of pews, maybe not even near the size of this room. And they've been casting nets all night long. You've got to understand, saints of God, that it really didn't have a whole lot to do with the fish. It didn't really have anything to do with where they were fishing. Oh, but God was showing them how close they really were to victory. You'd be surprised what's underneath some of your old boats that you're not catching yet because you're not letting God do it in your life. They were so close to victory. They were about to give up, but victory was just on the other side. You see, I want to say this. God, He'll keep the blessings for you. He could have let all them fish swam away, but He held them. Every time you cast your net, He just closed His hand and pulled them away. When you pulled the net, He pulled them right back. You cast your net, He closed His hand, pulled them away. You pulled the net, He stuck them right back. Because you kept casting on your own accord, your own mindset, your own ways. And so you said, I can't catch anything. But I think it's ironic how close they were to victory. He kept it until they were going to come to themselves. Now, saints of God, some of you have thought that your blessing is gone. You have thought that, well, I've done so many things and I've gone the wrong route so many times and I've strayed so many times that God, He doesn't have anything for me. But I would like to tell you the blessings are still there. He's just waiting on somebody to come to their senses. The blessing is just on the other side. The Bible says that when they cast their nets on the other side, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Luke said that Jesus had told them to cast their nets, but they only cast one net, which lets me know they didn't really expect to catch anything. But I want to know this morning, does anybody here expect to catch something? And if you do, don't just lift one hand, lift both hands and raise your voice and worship God, because I expect to catch a multitude today. You'd be surprised what's right under the boat. You got to understand, this wasn't about fishing. I never saw this until recently. It was never about fish. Holy Ghost help us. It was never about a boat. It wasn't even about Jesus showing them that He knew where fish was at. He'd already proven that. It wasn't about fish at all. Jesus didn't come down the banks, the shores of Tiberias to merely help them catch fish. It was about teaching Peter to trust him. He was getting him ready for the second half of his life. You see, he was preparing Peter. Peter would one day preach to angry mobs. Peter was going to be hung upside down on a crucifix in Jerusalem out on the outskirts of town. Simon Peter was going to be devastated at times. He was going to be rocked by the enemy at times. And some of you this morning are going through some things that aren't even, they're not even for today. You're experiencing a time of drought, a time of nothingness, and you're saying, God, what have I done? And it ain't nothing you've done, it's what you're going to do. He's got some lessons that he needs to teach you. Now he can bless you until he can trust you. There's some lessons that you need to learn. You're having a hard time saying saved. Well, it's no wonder why God doesn't give you more than what you've got. He can't trust you, and if he can't trust you, he's not going to give anything else to you. You've not passed the test yet. That's why some of you are in the same place you've been forever. If you'd passed the test, he'd give you your degree, and you can move up. But you've not passed the test yet. This was a test. This was a test. And you wonder why you feel that God wants you to do great things. He wants you to do great things in your life, but you're in the same place. You're turning the same wheels. You need to pass the test. You need to quit your gossiping. Amen. I need to say something. I want to say something here. You got to pass this test. Somebody tells you to not tell something to somebody, and you tell them, you didn't pass the test. Need to keep your mouth shut. Every now and then I'll tell people just a little something to see if they'll keep it. Not really important. I'll just share a little something with them to find out. And I want to know if I can trust them. Brother Corey, I've tested you over and over. And you have proven to me that I could tell you anything. And you'll never tell a soul. And I do that sometimes. Just test people because I don't just take anybody into confidence over anything. And even more so, God. He is testing some people this morning. And he wants to know who he can trust and who he cannot trust. And just because you can't see Jesus, and maybe because you can't feel Jesus, stay off the boat. Don't go fishing. Find yourself a prayer meeting. Find yourself a place to pray and seek the face of God. Hey, hold on. You've got to pass this test. Amen. I need to get to where I'm going. Need to pass the test. Need to quit feeling sorry for yourselves. Some of you are never going to get any further until you quit asking for handouts. Until you quit wanting people to pat you on the back and talk about how good you are. How much the church needs you and how important you are. You're not important. You ain't important. You ain't nothing. You're less than nothing. We're all less than nothing. We're nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. As a matter of fact, Paul said, in my flesh there is no good thing. Nothing. You're not pretty. You're not fancy. You're nothing. You're nothing. Without him, we are nothing. Amen? Somebody shout amen. And so quit asking people to feel sorry for you. Quit asking for sympathy. And just get up and say, it's time to serve God. If nobody likes me, if nobody loves me, if nobody cares, if nobody calls me, if nobody writes me, if nobody gives me a good luck charm, I will serve God. I'm going back to church. If nobody wants me, I'm going to lift my hands and worship God. Some of you need to pass a test. Or you're never going to move on. Some of you need to pass the test of anger. Every time conflict comes, you flip out. Some of you need to learn how to be good wives and good husbands. God help me, numero uno. God help me pass the test. You need to get a prayer life. He's been trying to get you to pray for years. And you've tried it for a week or two, maybe a month or two. But you've relapsed right back to where you were at in the beginning. And now you're wondering, why am I in the same place? Because you flunked the test. I mean, the test had only been for a week you'd have passed. But God's tests aren't for a week. He said, pray without ceasing. And you need to pass this test or you're not going to the next level. Amen. Peter, I ain't even going to point you, brother. Let's look at Job. Let's look at old Reverend Job. I want to talk, and I think it's verse 7. Well, 1 and 7, 2 and 7, it's all. I don't guess it really matters where I read. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord, as if from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Satan answered the Lord, said, God, did Job fear you for naught? So I'm sure he does serve you. I'm sure he does. Look at everything he's got. Yeah, I'm sure Job serves you. The richest man, he wasn't just rich, he was filthy, stanky rich. He is the richest man in the world. You know what I'm saying? He is rich. He's rich. Satan said, I guess he does serve you. Everything he touches, you bless. Every investment he makes, it triples. Everything's oblate, and you got a hedge about him. I can't even touch it. Yeah, I'm sure he does serve you. God said, just take it all. Go ahead and have it. Take it. Just don't touch him. Satan crawled his hide back up to the throne of God. What you doing, Satan? I'm walking around. I'm trying to find somebody. He said, what about Job, Paul? Now, he let me touch him. Let me afflict him. I said, go ahead. Go ahead. Touch him. Just can't take his life. Leave me one breath. Leave me one heartbeat, okay? He didn't just strip him, Brother Johnson. He killed his kids. Blew his houses down. Not only that, but he got sick. Throwing up, vomiting, scratching, itching. So bad. So severe, he broke a pot and just scratched his blood running down everywhere. And Satan said, what is it? And then his marriage fell apart. His marriage fell apart. Job cursed God. Woman, you speak as a foolish woman speak. Dost thou retain? But God help us. Y'all ain't even getting this, and this is probably the most powerful message I've ever preached. Dost thou retain thine integrity? You lost everything, Job. You lost everything, Job. You got nothing. He said, I beg to differ. I got what I had in the beginning. I got what made me rich. I got what made me rich. I got what gave me 10 kids. I got what gave me the houses. I've still got God. I still have my integrity. And we see Job in chapter 42. I mean, before he was driving a Volvo, now he's driving a Bentley. Because God said, Job, if you can give it up, I'll give you everything. Are you hearing me? I mean, it wasn't just about the finances. Yeah, God blessed him financially. But Job proved, you can strip me down to nothing. But as long as I got breath, I will worship. I will serve. I will love my God. And God gave it back to him. I'm getting ready to close. Amen. You see, Peter was not a dummy. He had been taught by Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Oh, you what Jesus said? He said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or wife or mother, children or lands for my sake or the gospel, for the gospels. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. You don't hear much preaching on that. But he shall receive 100-fold in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. You can talk about me all you want. Give me my stuff. And in the world. Do I need to read that to you again? He makes a difference between eternal things and earthly things. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. My goodness. Strip me down to nothing. I preached before and God, when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. I think every preacher in the country has preached that one. God help us. God help us this morning. John said, it's the Lord. John said, it's the Lord. I want you to watch what happens. Peter's soaking it all in. He has spent an entire night. His fingers bleeding, hands blooded from blisters. He stripped himself down. He wasn't completely naked. Even when the Bible said that David danced naked, he wasn't completely naked. He just danced out of his upper garments and just had on the various essentials. Simon Peter had shed off his fisherman coats and all that garb, and he was getting down to business. He's looking around. He sees these little ships dragging these nets because they couldn't pull them up. He sees over 150 fish. And he starts registering everything. Coat, throws it home, and he jumps into the water, and he starts swimming to the shore. Whew. Peter, if you can give it up, you can have it all. All that time trying to get fish, he realized this isn't about fish. It's about my relationship with Him. God help us this morning. 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 He began swimming. All that trouble to find fish. Now he leaves the boat and heads toward Jesus. Peter was learning a very valuable lesson. If you can give it up, you can have it all. If you're willing to lay everything down for the Lord, He will stand up and come to you in a way that will blow your minds. John 21:7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. He jumped off the boat and said, you can have the boat. He jumped off the boat and said, you can have the fish. He jumped off the boat and said, you can have my nets. I want one thing. I want Jesus. I feel your anointing, Lord. Thank you. He jumped off the boat and left the fish with his brothers. But I need you to see something, saints of God. When he got to the shore, the Bible said he found a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. You can have what you caught last night, but I've got a little something else. A little something here cooking. You didn't catch it. You didn't fix it. You had nothing to do with it. God said, if you'll give it up, I'll give you some blessings that you cannot contain. I'll bless you in a way that you'll never receive it. Fish that were already clean. Fish that God had cooked. He up on the bank. Some good stuff. And then he threw a little bread in on top of it. Amen. I wish y'all was hearing me this morning. He was willing to give up everything. But Jesus said, you don't have to give it up. Just be willing. Just be willing. I may test you, Simon. Job. Abraham, you got to be willing to give away that son. Take him to the mountain. If you can give him up, I'm going to bless you as the sand of the sea in number, as the stars in the sky. If you can give it up. Noah. Moses. If you can walk away from Egypt. Joseph, if you can give up that coat of many colors. Oh, God. I'm going going to set you on a throne, son. You're going to go from the prison to the palace. But I need to see your heart. If you'll lay it all down before the Lord, if you can get your heart to a place that you can say, God, nothing is as important as you. If everything falls apart, God, I will still serve you. If you can get to that place, you're going to find Jesus on the bank with fresh fish. Some of you need some fish this morning. We're not so desperate for money. But some of you are desperate for fish, blessings, God, the spiritual kind. Stand with me across the house. I preached a lot longer than I wanted to. Even right now, some of you need this worse than you need anything, and you're not even getting it. And sometimes I get frustrated with a cord. Because you can bring a word from God. You lay that on the table. That's for you. And folk will yawn and wipe the sleep from their eyes. And say, I wish I had more of God. I wish I could feel revival. And God says, you have no idea how close revival is. It's just right there. Whatever it is your heart desires this morning. If you can see, it's just right there. But you got a quick cast in the net your own way. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you this morning. I've delivered my heart and soul. I can't hardly believe we're at this point. And I don't know where to go from here. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. I know you're probing, you're searching right now. There's folk here right now. It's no closer to God than they were when they first came. They don't even care. They have cast and cast their nets for so many times that they said, well, I've not caught anything. And you're telling them this morning, if you'd quit doing it your way, and you'd start doing it my way, you're going to catch a multitude of fishes. Not a fish, not one, not two, a multitude. And not only am I going to give you what you've been searching for, but I'm going to give you a few other things that you didn't even know existed. God, I pray over these people right now, my heart broken, my heart burdened for them. God, would you move? Would you help, Lord? Would you stir? Spirit of God, walk up and down these aisles, Lord. Turn, Lord, twist, break, shake. Do a mighty work in our lives, Holy Father. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty. If this message was particularly for you, I want you to step out of your seat. Come around the front of this church. We're going to lay hands on you. I know there's going to be some honest here this morning. I know you're waiting on somebody else to come. I'm glad God's merciful. I'm glad that He tolerates that ignorance. Because I'll be honest with you, this revival, whether you get it or not, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. I'm getting it. If you can give it up,